We are in part three of our four-part series called Divine Direction. Divine Direction. Think of it like the band One Direction, but then completely change your mind because it has nothing to do with that, okay? So what is divine direction? To simply put it, it's this: knowing what God wants for your life. And hopefully you've seen through this series that God's not mysterious when it comes to revealing his plans for your life. He doesn't send you out on a scavenger hunt with riddles and clues that you have to decode, making it impossible for you to figure it out. He doesn't do things like that. God is very clear. Why is he so clear? Because he wants each of us to follow him. So he's going to be very clear. For example, if you wanted your kids to clean the house, you would not give them a series of riddles in Greek translation for them to decode, hopefully that they would understand that you want them to clean the house. You would simply say, clean the house. And that's what God does for us. He wants it as easy and as simple for us to get it. Week one, we learn this. We are the result of the decisions that we have made in the past. That's sometimes hard to swallow.
Agree.
All right. Amen. Thank you. All right. So we are a result of the decisions that we've made in the past. For example, I made a decision to come to Chicago to attend the Moody Bible Institute. The results of that decision was I met a Chicago man. I married that Chicago man. I know, I look the same. And as a result of that, we have Chicago kids, okay? Because I made the decision to play sports all through grade school, high school, and college, without listening to the aches and pains of my body, I have really, really bad knees. So the one on the right doesn't even look like a knee. That's a bone spur on top of my kneecap. Bad knees. It's a result of the decisions I made to play sports. Corey made a decision to do Taekwondo for 12 years of dedication, training, teaching it. So today, it's the reason he's not here, he's testing for his third degree black belts. Right? We are a result of the decisions that we have made in the past. Now, there's good decisions that we make that have led to good results, and there's bad decisions that we have made that have led to not so great results. Right? And we are a result of our past decisions, and our future is determined by the decisions we make today. Right? That is why it is never too late to start following God's divine direction. It's never too late to start following God's divine direction, because today you can make decisions that impact your future. And that's really exciting. So today, whether you've messed up your entire life, today starts a brand new day where you're like, I'm going to make really good decisions, God decisions that impact my future. The results tomorrow, the results next year as we're in this room, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are going to be the fact that you made good decisions now. Now, here is what the problem sometimes happens. We can be people who kind of like, I don't really care about the choices I make, you know, really believe in kind of like the choices don't affect my future. Like the idea, I'll keep using my credit card over and over and over again, incurring huge finance charges because I don't really care what the results are. Or we can become so obsessed and so worried that we're going to make the wrong choice. Bucky talked about this with this idea. We have this perfect life. We have this one mate. We have this one job. We're so worried that we're going to miss something that we're like, I'm not going to commit to anything, right? I'm not going to take that job because it's not really facing, the office doesn't face the direction I really wanted my office to be in, right? It just doesn't feel right. Or I'm not going to serve in that ministry because I don't know if maybe there's going to be a better opportunity coming for me, so I'm just going to hold back and not do anything. Or I can't commit to that relationship because there might be someone better out there for me. We're afraid that we're going to miss out on the best, so we don't commit. But if we are the results of the decisions we make, we have to make some decisions. And of course, we want to make the right decision, and that's all what divine direction is, knowing what God wants for our life. So this morning, when we talked about divine direction, we're going to talk about trusting God in the process. Trusting God in the process of divine direction. Trusting God that he's not going to screw up. Trusting God that he's not going to lead us astray. Trusting God that he's not going to make it difficult for us to determine his will. Trusting God that he's not going to make us know the struggle is real. But trusting and believing that God's process is the right process. How many of you here are bakers like me? A few bakers in the house? Okay, I'll see if you are. Let me ask you this question, all right? I'll know if you really are a baker like me by answering this question. If you're making cupcakes or cake, all right? Doesn't matter from box or from scratch. It's all the same. As soon...
Really?
It is. Don't make me have a bake-off. All right, you're making cupcakes and cake, and it comes out of the oven nice and hot, right? Can you frost it right away?
No.
I wish you guys would have told me this. All right, so I have learned this the hard way about a million times because I can be an impatient person. So if I'm making a cake, I think, well, I got to check it off my list. So I make the cake, come out of the oven, I got to frost it, then I can check it off my list as being done. So my cake often looks like this, right? This happens. You rip off about an inch or two of your cake trying to frost it early because there is a process of making a cake and frosting it. There's a process that you have to follow and be patient with if you want to have good results. God has a process of following his will. You've seen the classic movie Karate Kid? Back in the day, we just called it Karate Kid, but now it's called Classic, all right? The classic movie Karate Kid. Well, Daniel here, he wanted to learn to fight so he could defend himself against this guy, right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Miyagi is going to teach Daniel how to fight, but Mr. Miyagi has a process, right? So first, Daniel had to paint the fence. You got it, right? Then he had to wash and wax the cars. And then he had to sand the deck. And then he had to paint the house. Daniel was very angry with the process that Mr. Miyagi had. But Mr. Miyagi's like, hey, I got big plans for you to win the dojo. You know, right? So he had to do it. So he had to go through all of this in order for him to get the right karate forms. He needed to trust the process. In order for divine direction, we need to trust God in the process. So we're going to Acts chapter 20 this morning. And the context of this is the Apostle Paul. He has a very emotional decision. I don't know if you've ever made emotional decisions where you have to leave or go someplace or change something. Something starts, something ends. It's emotional. He's got a very emotional decision he needs to make. And Paul's been living and serving in Ephesus for 3.5 years. He kind of got some roots established there. He had a successful ministry going there, one of the biggest churches in Asia Minor that he was overseeing. And Ephesus, even though it had some trials, it had become like home to him. And then it's like, dun, dun, dun. Paul feels this prompting by God to leave and go somewhere else. So he calls the elders of the church together, and they gathered, and it says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. You see his language? Compelled by the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's God living inside us believers. He's compelled to. You ever felt compelled by the Spirit to do something? It could be nagging like a kid asking, are we there yet in the car? Right? It just keeps taunting you and telling you, I want you to do this. You can't escape it. You just know you're being pulled into a different direction. Many of you guys know the story that compelled me, and I'm not going to share it with you because you've heard it so many times, to go to Moody Bible Institute. I could not go. It was just pulling at me and nagging at me, the Spirit, to say, you have to leave your home, go to this place for school. Well, I graduated in May of 96. And my plan was, this was my plan, this was Carrie's direction, was to go home back to Buffalo to live with my sister who had an apartment there, to do my graduate work at the University of Buffalo where I had started my education. I had already connected with my home church. I said, I'm going to do the Pioneer Girl program because, you know, that's where I got saved. So I'm like, I'm going to head up the Pioneer Girl program and I'm going to drive the bus in the bus ministry because that sounds fun to me because that's what led me to the church where I got saved. And so I had everything worked out. I said goodbye to all of my Chicago friends. I drove back to Buffalo, and within 8 days of being home, I felt compelled by the Spirit to return. compelled. I can't even explain it to you. So I told God I don't have a place to live in Chicago, but I still felt compelled by the Spirit to go back. I told God I don't have a job once I get back into Chicago. I felt compelled by the Spirit to go. I told him I don't even have any money in my bank account. It's zero. I felt compelled by the Spirit to go back. So what I do, I told my family who were compelled to tell me I'm crazy, that I'm going back to Chicago. I asked my dad to fill up my car. Luckily, it was a Volkswagen. It had a big gas, great on gas mileage. Can you fill up my car and give me $40 to get back to Chicago? And I was compelled to come back, not knowing any of this was part of God's plan in his future. Not knowing any of it, compelled. The first step in trusting God in the process is follow the Spirit's promptings. When you are compelled or prompted or nudged by the Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense, follow it. The Greek word translated here that's compelled by the Spirit is deo ho pneuma. And this is what it actually means. Deo means a rap or a cord, and pneuma means spirit, breeze, or current. So it's actually like a cord pulling you, or a spirit, like a current in water taking you. It just compels you towards that direction. Well, Paul, he loved where he was in Ephesus, but there was a current pulling him someplace else. Carol Keneally experienced this. She loves Northside Community Church. She loves leading worship here, but there was something compelling her and leading her to something different. Spirit's promptings. Deo ho pneuma. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have to watch for the Deo ho pneuma, right? It can be something really, really, really big where the Spirit redirects your entire life. Or it can be something so insignificant. You're like, well, why are you telling me to stop and tell that woman that Jesus loves her? Why are you telling me to pay that person's light bill? Why are you telling me to call that person I haven't talked to in a long time? It can be something so subtle and so small, or something so huge. 16 years ago, the Spirit prompted me to call my mom out of nowhere. I hardly ever spoke to my mom. And I called her, and guess what happened that day? She accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior on the phone. It was totally bizarre. And I think back to that, the Spirit was compelling me to do that. What happens if I said, it's bad pizza, you know, I'm just not feeling myself today. But it was the Spirit's prompting to lead me to call her. Have you felt the Deo ho pneuma? Have you felt it? Right? Maybe it's to get out of your comfort zone. Maybe participate more in the congregation here at Northside. Maybe to start a new business. Maybe to write a book. Maybe to get out of a current relationship. Maybe to commit to something. It's the Spirit pulling you like a cord towards what God wants. Follow the Spirit. Trust the process. The second thing to know when trusting God in the process of divine direction is certain uncertainty. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. What doesn't Paul know? He does not know any of the details. He doesn't know why he's going to Jerusalem, what he will do there, if people will be nice to him, if they'll imprison him, if they'll kill him. He doesn't know if he's going to find housing there or food there. He doesn't know if this is the last of his travels and he can kind of settle down again like he did in Ephesus, or he's going to be there for a day or a week. He knows none of the details. How many of you like to know the details before you make a decision?
That would be nice.
Yeah, right? We want to know the details. That's most people. I'm frankly not a detail person, right? So this one's pretty easy for me. I don't read contracts. I don't read fine print. I know some of you are gasping right now. I don't ask a whole lot of questions when I make decisions. I kind of just go with it. I'm not bragging. It's sheer laziness. But a lot of people want to know the details before a big move. Second verse I ever memorized in the KJV was, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How big is that light? It's probably like a lantern. Right? It's not like God's giving you like this, "Thy word is a spotlight," you know, where you can see all of what's going to happen in the future. We're talking just a few steps. So you have that lantern, you take a few steps, and guess what? Now the next steps are lit. And you take those steps, and the next steps are lit. But you don't know if there's a coyote 2 miles down the road, right? You just don't. You can only see that part of the step that God's revealing to you, right? There's going to be certain uncertainty. I don't know all the details. But what we want sometimes from God is like, God, we want all the details. I want you to write them all down for me, God. I want you to put them into an Excel spreadsheet. I want you to highlight the details and place it in a binder for my viewing pleasure. Right, Laura? That's what we want, right? We want that from God. We want him to tell us all the information. But he likes the beginning steps. And after we do those, he likes a few more steps. Certain uncertainty. Paul's like, I don't know what's going to await me in Jerusalem. I just know I gots to go, right? I just know I have to be there. But I don't know what the next step after that is, but I'm trusting God in the process. I'm trusting God. Lord determines your steps. You may know that you're supposed to do something, but you haven't done it yet because you're waiting for the details. God doesn't always work that way. Doesn't always work that way. There is certain uncertainty. Be obedient today, and tomorrow you're going to know some more details, right? Trusting God in the process is being okay, even when you don't know the details. Second thing, predictable resistance. What will almost always happen when you start trusting God in the process of divine direction? You are going to meet up with some resistance. Paul says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. The struggle is real here, right? He knows it. He knows he's going to meet up with some resistance. Why? Because he's a follower of Jesus, and Jesus was pretty clear that we're going to meet up with some resistance. Here's Jesus. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. It's very strong language. He wasn't being exaggerating here. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. You start living like Jesus and for Jesus, you are going to be treated like Paul was, right? Paul heads to Jerusalem expecting resistance. Here's a very bold statement of reality. If we are not ready to face opposition for our obedience to God, then we are not ready to be used by God. If we are not ready to face the opposition for our obedience to God, then we are not ready to be used by God. You start doing significant stuff for God, you're going to meet up with some resistance. People are going to talk bad about you. People are going to think you're closed-minded. People are going to think that you think you're better than them. People will mock you for your desire for purity and integrity. You may have resistance from your spouse over the money you give back to God, or the amount of time you serve, or the fact that going to worship God on Sunday morning is a non-negotiable for you. Anything significant that we do for God is going to be met with some resistance. And here's the thing, sometimes when we get a little bump in the road or meet some resistance, we think, well, this must not be God's will then, right? Because it's not easy street. This must not be God's will. Don't give up then. Don't give up then. Because if you are doing important things for God, the enemy does not want you to do it. So if you meet up with some resistance, trust God in the process of pursuit of divine direction. You know, Paul, he's one of those guys in the Bible we think is a big deal, right? He's like one of those A-list followers of Jesus. If you've never even picked up the Bible, you probably have heard of the Apostle Paul. Someone has heard of them or spoke to you about it because he's such a key player in the growing and spreading of Christianity. But if we look back on Paul's life, and I know you guys know the story, but he wasn't always a loyal follower, right? He was the complete opposite. He was the guy who didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. He was the guy who wanted to shut down the spread of Christianity. He wanted to literally destroy followers of Jesus. And then he meets Christ and has this powerful conversion. His life is completely transformed. But he doesn't go and immediately do big God things like writing half of the New Testament. There's a process to it, right? There's a process to it. Galatians 1, 16 through 17 tells us a little about that. To reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. You didn't go sort out a mentorship program. Instead, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. So Paul goes away for what we think of, looking at the timelines of like 3 years. He goes away for 3 years and he prepares himself for God's further divine direction. He studies, he spends time getting to know Jesus, and I'm sure he really wants to get out there because he was just the guy telling everybody Jesus is fake, and now when he realizes Jesus is real, don't you want to go correct those ways? Don't you want to go back to those people and be like, hey, I was wrong, this is the real deal? But he waits. You ever been patient with God when you were like, I'm really ready to go, God, and God's like, no, not time yet? You ever been impatient with God? Or like, God, I really gotta go, and he's like, no, not yet. So 3 years later, he's ready to go to Damascus. He goes to Damascus, he preaches, probably a really great sermon, because everyone in town now wants to kill him, right? Which would scare me. Like, if I preached here one Sunday and all of a sudden Peter got up with some nunchucks, I wouldn't come back, right? I just wouldn't come back, right? It's the idea, like, I'm fearing for my life here. And it's not a great start to ministry. The first sermon you preach, people want to kill you. So then he runs for his life. But he wants to keep preaching, but he's meeting up with a lot of resistance. He feels called to do it, but he's meeting up with a lot of resistance. So now he's trying to preach in some of the established churches, but guess what? They don't want him to come. Why? Because he used to murder Christians, right? So they're like, we don't want you as a guest speaker. We don't believe necessarily that you're the real deal right now. So he's in trouble. He's meeting resistance. He's running for his life. He is trying to find a place. And eventually, another respected leader in the church, Barnabas, vouches for him. And like, this guy's the real deal. So it starts opening doors for him. But it took a long time of waiting and studying and praying and trying to preach and running for his life and working as a tent maker so he could actually eat and survive, and then closed doors and more closed doors until it came together. Could he have given up when he hit resistance? Yeah. But he trusted God in the process. Trust God in the process. He's doing something in you because he wants to do something through you. So we have the Spirit's prompting, certain uncertainty, predictable resistance. Our last one, uncommon confidence. Let's start in the orange there. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Even though Paul knows it's going to be difficult, even though he does not know any of the details, he has confidence with the very uncommon. Why? Because he considers his life worth nothing. It's not about him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about him at all. He's like, I'm going for it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm doing it. I'm going to follow the Spirit's prompting no matter how crazy it seems. He's going to light a little light, one or two steps. I'm going to follow those one or two steps. And then he's going to light a little more, and I'm going to follow those. Because I am confident it's about him and not me, and I'm heading in the right direction. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. So what about you? Where are you at? You look at this list of trusting God in the process of divine direction. Maybe it's time to stop asking God, what is your will for my life? And start actually following the promptings that he's already given you, right? Maybe it's time to say, I feel that prompting and I feel you going here, but I don't know any of the details, and being okay with that, having certain in the uncertainty. Maybe it's time to toughen up a little bit and deal with the resistance. You know, life isn't easy, we know that. Jesus never promised that to us. So we put on our big boy pants and we meet up with a little resistance, because we know divine direction is the best direction. And we keep on and we keep doing what God's asked of us, all with that same confidence, knowing that it doesn't seem normal to others, but this is from God. That's trusting God in the process. So when you get to this point, you don't have to worry so much about your future, which is nice. You don't have to worry about your future. You just have to be obedient today, right? Yes. The future is going to be dependent on your obedience today. And when you're obedient today, you're not worried that you're missing something, that God's hiding something from you, because he's not. Because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do today. And then you trust him that he's going to lead you to that next step after that. And I promise you, your life is going to glorify him. And that's how you discern divine direction. You got to trust the process. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for caring so much about us, that you would give us a Holy Spirit inside us to be able to poke us and push us towards you. Thank you, God, that you gave us your word of people who really did this stuff and wrote about this stuff and proclaimed how awesome it was to follow you wherever it is that you led them, even when they didn't know all the details. So for the hearts of the Northsiders today, maybe struggling with trusting you when they don't see the full big plan, would you give them peace and rest today? Father, would they allow you to come inside them and to calm them? Father, would you breathe your freshness into them, God, that they would know that you do have a plan and your plans are good plans? Father, if they've gotten off track and been feeling their own desires leading them certain ways, Lord, would you pull them with that cord back into the place that you would have them to be? And Lord, would you give us courage when we meet up with the resistance? Because sometimes it's scary, and we want to be liked, and we want things easy. That you give us the courage and the power to resist those, the temptation to stop and to go back the way it was. And Lord, would you continue to fill us with the confidence that only can come from you, realizing that you're our dad, and you're all powerful, and you're all knowing, and you're all full of grace, and you're all full of love, and you're all full of forgiveness, that today we may make the decisions that result in a future of divine direction. It's in your name we pray. Amen.